Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
This is Alan Tecchio from Watchtower, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
This is Ron Jarzombek from Watchtower, and you're listening to Talking Metal.
Molson Canadian presents Heavy Montreal. August 7th, 8th, and 9th, outdoors at Parc Jean Drapeau, featuring Slipknot, Faith No More, Korn, and Mastodon. 3 full days of rock and metal with Lamb of God, Iggy Pop, Fozzy, Lita Ford, and many more. Festival passes on sale now. For the full festival lineup, visit HeavyMontreal.com, presented by Evenco.
Hey guys, welcome to another edition of the Talking Metal Podcast. We have some pretty big news on today's podcast regarding the band Watchtower, and I am going to be joined by Rob and Alan from that band, and they're going to tell us what's going on with Watchtower, if anything. So stay tuned for that. I think this is some really cool stuff that's going to be revealed here today. For fans of progressive metal in general, Watchtower, of course, one of the leaders, the founders of the progressive metal movement, going way back to 1989 when they released that historic record, Control and Resistance. Such good stuff, featuring my friend Alan Tecchio on vocals, who, of course, I've jammed with, I've hung out with, I've listened and been a fan of his music with Hades, Nonfiction, Level Fields, and many other projects, too much to name actually right now. We actually just heard a song of Alan's and Mike Lepon's on the last episode of Talking Metal. So it's great to have Alan on the podcast here today, and also Ron Jarzombek. So without further ado, we're going to get right into the interview with these two cats here on Talking Metal. This is some classic Watchtower. Control and Resistance, the title track off the 1989 release. Followed by my interview with Ron and Alan from Watchtower.
We'll be right back.
Hey, this is Mark Striegel of the Talking Metal Podcast, and we have two very special guests on the line who brought us a very special record back in 1989, and we want to talk to them about that and about other things. Guest A, Ron Jerzombek, and guest B, Alan Tecchio. How you guys doing?
Great.
Good, Mark. How you doing?
I'm doing great. And, you know, you guys, back in 1989, put out this record with your band Watchtower called Control and Resistance. And through the years, it to me, as somebody who kind of studies heavy metal history, it really seems like history has been kind to this record. And we hear people like Mike Portnoy calling it a very important record to him, and it really helped, you know, form his musical direction and you know, a big influence on Dream Theater. We've heard lots of books and magazines reference this as kind of a historical and important record. How do you two, the guys who made the record, so many years later, look back on it now? Ron?
Well, the way I look at it was that was months before or after we got Alan in the band, and so we were just coming together as a band. I remember on the flight over there, we were talking about all of the vocal parts and everything that we were going to have to do, and we were working things out when we were in Berlin. And for us, we were just kind of pulling ourselves together. And then the tour came up months after that, and then we just got into a really good groove with everything. And that's the way I see that album. To me, it was just us coming together as a band. And the influence that it has on other bands and other people, to me, is, you know, it's a very cool thing, just as we've been influenced by Dream Theater, too, and a lot of the other prog bands that came out around that time.
For me, totally different experience, but you're right. It was us coming together and trying to find our rhythm as a band together, so to speak. But for me, I was a fan before I joined as a singer. Jason and I were pen pals for years. And my band Hades up in Jersey, we used to open up a band here that Watchtower opened up for in Austin, Texas, and we would share those stories together for a long time before I actually took his place after he left the band. So it was kind of cool to come in and sing songs that I was pretty familiar with, a lot of them already, except the newer ones. And, yeah, it was just a really exciting time in life for sure to go over to Europe and make the record, no doubt.
So Jason obviously left the band, and I'm assuming he went and he formed Dangerous Toys. And is he the one, Alan, that then brought you into contact with Ron and the guys?
Oh, 100%. He sent me, actually he called me right before I went to Europe with Hades. We went over to tour, our first European tour in like 88. And he said, dude, you got to take my place. My other band, Dangerous Toys, just got a deal with CBS. And I didn't even know he had another band. I was like totally confused. And I said, I can't join because I'm going to Europe. And then we ended up breaking up on tour in Europe. And from Belgium, actually, I sent a postcard back to Doug and said, if that spot's still open, I'd like to audition when I get home. And I did that when I got back from Europe, got the gig, and then basically hopped the plane back to Europe for the rest of the summer.
And did you get...
Yeah, you know, Jason, when that came around, Jason felt real bad about it. You know, the fact that he, you know, pretty much was with the very beginning of Watchtower, and then he kind of leaves us right when we were... when the noise deal came around, and then he just kind of like bailed on us. And so I kind of looked at it like he thought it was his responsibility to find somebody for us. That's the way I took it.
I believe that.
Right on. And did you guys, well, Alan, let's talk to you about this. Did you feel when you stepped into Watchtower, like, wow, this is really something different. This is something groundbreaking. This is something special. Were you kind of able at that point in time able to see that?
Well, a groundbreaking for sure, Mark. Like, I knew they were a groundbreaking band, and I knew there was no other band in the world, let alone heavy metal, that sounded like them. And what really sold me on them when I got to know them as people was their great senses of humor, because they're just goofy, the guys who like to have fun. They're not serious bonehead musicians, but yet they're like, I mean, they're world-class talent, all three of them, you know what I mean? They're like on another level. And it's super cool to be able to float with them, because I'm not, you know, some technically amazing singer.
Right.
Well, you know, I just do what I do, and it's fun to play with them and for them to be so grounded.
So, Ron, what happened to Watchtower back in those days? You did the record with Alan. You did some touring. how and why did the band kind of fall apart back, we're talking after Control and Resistance?
The main reason with that was I developed some hand issues. Actually, the hand issues started during the recording of the Fall of Reason solo. Alan, I don't know if you remember it, but yeah, we had a guy, Gertie, punching me in, you know, with the two-track machine, and I couldn't play the shit. My finger. Oh, can we cuss here? Can we cuss?
Okay. Oh yeah, go.
Anyways,
for it.
I was playing.
We prefer
yeah,
cussing.
I was playing this one certain section. My fingers kept getting stuck, and when I got home, I started wearing these rings so that my fingers wouldn't hyperextend and everything. And then I had to have surgeries, and that whole process of where I got back to playing again took about 2.5 or 3 years. And at the beginning of this, Alan could see the writing on the wall that we weren't going to do anything, because he had moved to Austin because he thought we were going to get going, you know, get the train rolling. And then months after that, he went back to New York, and then it just took me so long to get my fingers to where I could play again. But that was the main reason that everything just came to a grinding halt.
Wow. Wow. And that's was the problem, was it from overplaying? Like, was it like just that you played guitar too much that your hand kind of gave out on you?
Yeah, I think I used to have a pretty heavy guitar, and it weighed on my shoulder and everything, and it kind of, I think it trickled down to the fingers, and it put too much pressure on my fingers or something. But yeah, I had to have 4 surgeries, and they fixed them up great. But during that time, we just lost all of our momentum and everything. Alan was busy doing other projects and stuff, and we couldn't find a singer for so long, but we kept trying to write and get enough material for another record, and we did that and could not find a singer. Jason was in Dangerous. I think he was still in Dangerous Toys at that time, and we just didn't have much motivation to try to keep it going because we had such a big layoff.
So, Alan, at what point do you end up back in New York and New Jersey in Nonfiction? Did you go back to Hades after Watchtower, or were you already forming what would become Nonfiction?
The story, the way I remember it, and listen, this is a long time ago, is that when I left Hades, you know, there was a pretty big rift between Dan Lorenzo and I, the founder of Hades, and he started Nonfiction after that with Danny Astazi from Monkey Pup and Doggy Dog. And they started playing some shows and doing some stuff, putting out demos and whatever, and I got a hold of a demo, and I think I spoke highly of an interview or something like that, and that led Dan to call me, and as it turned out, I think Doggy Dog started to really get traction then, and Danny left the band, so he needed a singer, and I really liked the Nonfiction riffs because they were like Hades slowed down, and I ended up joining Nonfiction and coming back up to New Jersey to, you know, join with them. They also had a potential deal with CBS at the time. It would look really, really good. And eventually, of course, that deal didn't happen, but eventually we got a deal and we did, you know, what we did around the area.
Right on. And so Watchtower, it's, I guess, kind of, you said, Ron, that you kept writing stuff, but it really never materialized into live gigs after Alan was back up north. And when did Watchtower kind of come back to life? I know Jason came back into the fold, like we're talking like maybe 15 years later, right?
What was happening with Watchtower was after I had this layoff, I kind of got a lot of drive and motivation by just being able to play again. And so I was writing these tunes and doing all of this crazy kind of shit. And for some reason, I would bring it to Rick and Doug, these tunes, and they just weren't working out. And around this time, my brother was out of Riot, or maybe it was before Riot or whatever, but anyways, that's when Spastic Ink started.
Right, you're talking about your brother, the great drummer Bobby, of course.
Yeah, and so me and Bobby started writing, and that just clicked a lot better than what was happening with me, Doug, and Rick. And then plus, you know, we were in the same city. Watchtower lives in, Doug and Rick are in Austin. And so me and Bobby, we just...
Where are you and Bobby? What city are you guys in?
San Antonio. And so we got our friend Pete, and we just... This was in 94. And we just started writing some really killer shit, and I was a lot more motivated to that. And then, you know, every couple of weeks or whatever, I would go to Austin and try to write with Rick and Doug. And they had this vision for this, what they called the new Watchtower. It wasn't as crazy. It was kind of what I would call a watered-down version of it, and I just didn't dig it.
Right.
And so we went through that period, and so after a while, it was just like we were lost.
That's when you did those, dude, I want to interrupt. That's when you did those two tunes with Scott Jeffries?
No, those tunes, we just had recorded demos, and we were looking for a singer, and he somehow got them, and he recorded vocals, and soon after that, he was sending the songs like they were his songs or something, but we didn't even know what he had done with those.
I like what he did with those, too.
But anyways, those the two songs that he did, I think we scrapped those. I don't even remember what songs they were. But
yeah, I remember them. I remember them. I got them on my iPod, but I know they're not available.
Yeah, but
so it's not whatever.
But Bobby and I were doing, you know, the Mad Data Race, Mosquito Brain Surgery, and it was just fun. Doing the first Spastic Ink CD was just so much fun, and we just kept that rolling and rolling, and the material was sitting around for about 2 years. This was before the internet, and it took a while before we released that CD. And then 97 came around, and we finally got the CD out. And then Bobby joined Halford, and then that was
right.
The end of Spastic Ink.
I got you. Cool.
Yeah.
And then, so that was late 90s when Bobby joined Halford, I'm guessing, because that's when
yep.
they... Yeah. So Watchtower, I mean, I know you had other stuff going on. When did Blotted Science start up?
Oh, that was way later.
That was way later, okay.
That was like 2004, 05, something like that. Spastic Ink had two CDs out before anything Blotted Science happened.
So, Ron, what were you up to, like, we're talking, you know, 1990 through, like, 2005, musically?
Mm-hmm. What the hell is that?
That's somebody's cell phone.
Did y'all hear that?
Sorry, it was me.
Yeah, I did a couple of solo CDs. I did Solitarily Speaking in 2002. Spastic Ink Incompatible came out in 2003. And then Blotted Science started writing around 2004. Something like that.
Cool. And at some point, Jason actually comes back into the Watchtower fold, right? And you do some shows with him. How did that materialize?
We got a call, and I hadn't done a gig in 8 or 9 years at this time. I mean, I was not playing at all anymore. And then we get a call from, Jason called me, I remember, and it was they wanted us to do this reunion show, and this was for the Bang Your Head Festival. And so this was in 2000. And we did that, and then when Jason got back in, we were a little bit motivated and everything, and so we kind of picked up, I think the writing kind of picked up, and we started writing some crazier shit, and then Watchtower kind of got back on track a little bit, you know, did the festival and kept writing for a couple of months, and then it just kind of petered out.
Okay. And we fast forward then to like 2009, I think it is, suddenly you did at least how many shows with Alan? Alan comes back into the fold. I know you did Keep It True.
That's
right?
It.
Was that it, or was there another show too?
That's it.
So, and the response for that show is great, right?
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was great.
And what happens then? Do you guys start writing? Because obviously we get one new Watchtower song on iTunes in 2000.
We have to backtrack. I had this thing to where whenever these reunion talks came up, I was like, I'm not playing another Watchtower gig unless we have some new material, because I was sick of all of this mathematics talk, you know, we're talking the talk but no walking kind of a thing.
And okay, and to clarify, when you say mathematics, that's the rumored title of an upcoming Watchtower record, right?
Yeah, it's supposed to be the third CD that we have all of the material written for, but it's not recorded. And where was I going with that? I forgot where I was at.
Well, you didn't really want to do more shows unless there was new material.
Yeah, and so we got this offer to play Kit, and it just turned out that we had this one song that was close to being done. Everybody was kind of happy with all the parts. Alan sounded great. Doug wasn't too happy about it because he didn't get to do any cool fills or nothing. I was like, too bad.
Right.
You know? And so we released this one song, and it was like, well, we got a new song, so we released it. I guess we can play a festival now. And it just seemed to me like that was the minimum that we could do to do a show. You know, we released one song. And so we have all these other songs that are just kind of, you know, laying around over an hour worth of material that I just kind of think we need to get them out there.
Okay, so the song that came out was The Size of Matter. That's in 2010. Mm-hmm. And there's other songs that you're referencing that were being worked on. But you know, that was a while ago. That was, you know, 2010. We're in 2015. What's happened to these songs? Are you guys currently working on them? Can we expect to hear stuff soon?
Yeah, right now we have three songs that we are pretty much done. I have maybe a couple of bars to go of solos on one, and then we're done with those. And I'd like to release them very soon. Alan and this guy that we're working with have this grand idea that they want to do this freaking EP shit.
As opposed to a full record. You're saying you got three songs, so yeah, EP.
Yeah, and the full album, for us to pull the full album together with everybody in different places and doing everything else, you know, Doug's doing this, Rick's doing that, I'm doing like three other projects. For us to put the whole thing together with everything that everybody else has going on, it's just too much of a mountain to climb, you know. And we have these three songs done, and they're killer songs, and I want to put them out there.
So three songs in addition to The Size of Matter, correct?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. So this is big news. We have basically the lineup that gave us Control and Resistance back in 1989. Mm-hmm. Doing three new songs: Doug on bass, Rick on drums, Alan on vocals, and Ron on guitar. That's awesome. I'm not sure we've heard this news yet. I'm excited about this.
You're the first to get it, brother. Yeah, we don't have any full mixes done. We got to get them mixed and mastered. And Ronnie's got, like you said, a bar or two of solo left to do. And then, you know, I don't know what the time frame is on that, Ron. You probably know better than me, but.
Yeah, and I didn't want to say anything about any of this mathematics stuff until we were just so close to having something done that was completed. And with these three songs, we're kind of there right now.
So will mathematics be an EP? Will you keep that name, mathematics?
Well, it'd be more like math or math.
Math.
Cool. Well,
yeah, dudes. Alan and this guy that we're working with, they want to do this EP, and I don't want to go there because it would mean we'd probably have to get two more songs done, and we've got three songs. It's 2015. It's a digital age. We should just put them out there digitally. And
I don't disagree with that. I want to get them out as fast as possible, but my thought with that is if we got one more song, and then just do Size of Matter on there, we'd have five songs. And people like hard product. They just do, especially in Europe. So it's worth it.
Yeah, you know, that's one thing that we're kind of, that I've got going, debating in my brain, is the Tower fans that were there, you know, in the early 90s, where are they now? Do they download at all? Does it have to be a physical disc? Will
those
they accept
people probably not. Those people probably not, but I'm telling you, there's an audience that likes product, likes to read the little gatefold, you know, booklets and stuff. They do.
Yeah, so we're just kind of weighing that out, and I just don't want to run into another situation where we try to bite off too much, and we just come to a halt again, you know, to where a year goes by and we don't get anything done. You know, we've got these songs done. Let's put them out there. That's what I want to do.
And would you just do this completely,
awesome,
completely independently, or are you looking for a label to help you release them, even if it's just a digital release?
Man, with the way the music industry is right now, if you try to shoot for a label, I mean, take Blotted Science, for instance. We released both of the CD and the EP, we did them just self-release independently on our own, just because when we went to labels, they wanted control of everything, and they were only going to pay $5,000 or $10,000, and it was theirs. And that was Machinations was in 2007, and you know, labels are folding all over the place, and I don't know what label would make it worthwhile for us to go with them.
Right. Okay. Well, good stuff. I mean, any idea when we might hear the three songs, when they might come out digitally?
Well, as soon as the guy Jacob Hansen that does all of my mastering stuff, he's done both Blooded Science, he's going to start working on them on the 12th. And it could be very soon after that.
Awesome. Well, great news. We can't wait to hear the stuff. Speaking of Blotted Science, Ron, what is the status of that project band?
I've come to the realization that it's probably never, ever going to be a band, just because Alex is so tied up with Cannibal Corpse. It's his life. It's his everything. And we are working on a third CD, but everybody has more important priorities musically and just in their life that they're doing. And so I'm just taking it as it goes. But we've got enough material for a third CD, and we're recording it right now. Everybody's working on their own. Blotted Science isn't a band to where we all meet up and do everything and together. It's you do stuff on your own. It's a long-distance project.
I gotcha. Cool. And a few years back, maybe two, three years ago, you ended up hooking up with the band Protest the Hero. How did that all come about, and can you talk about your involvement on their record?
That was all Chris Adler. Chris Adler was the first drummer that was going to play on the first Blotted Science CD, and I just kind of keep in touch. Oh, by the way, Chris, for anybody who doesn't know this, Chris Adler is the drummer for Lamb of God, and we've just kind of remained friends since then.
Doing work with Megadeth and, now, too.
Yeah, I know. He's kicking ass these days. And he did the studio session for the whole Protest the Hero CD, and he just kind of brought my name up somehow, and it turns out they were Blotted Science fans, the guys in the band. And we just kind of went from there, and me and Luke and I were working out what section to do on the song and everything like that, and I sent them the tracks, and I got to play on the CD, so.
Cool.
All good.
Yeah, great stuff, great stuff. And Alan, let's talk about some of the stuff you've been up to outside of Watchtower. I mean, you're obviously known for your work with Hades, Nonfiction, but more recently, I was just blown away by the Mike LaPond record, and I spoke about this on the last episode with Metal Mike, Silent Assassins, Mike LaPond's record. Great stuff. Any plans to maybe do more work with Mike in any way?
So the whole next Silent Assassin CD is totally written. Mike wrote the whole thing again by himself, and he's the best with that classic metal sound, you know. So Symphony X, now the record's dropping, I think, this month.
It's a great record.
And they're going on the road with Overkill for quite a while. So whenever they have their break in between, I think their American and European tours, we're going to try to track. So probably like winter coming up.
Awesome stuff. And what about your other stuff that you're working on? I know Level Fields. Can you talk about what's going on with that?
I got a project just like Ronnie, Long Distance, two guys in Germany, Marco Ahrens, Andreas Kegler, and my friend Clint Ahrens from the Philadelphia area on bass. We're doing some stuff that's just like really cool, heavy, doomy, rock, metal, whatever, and got about six songs. And we've been releasing them one at a time digitally, and we might look to perhaps, you know, put them together with some other new material as a CD, because we see that there is some demand for that, you know. And then I got a project with a guy in West Milford, New Jersey, Arnold Marfoglia, my friend Forrest Layton on drums, and Kevin Bolenbach from Nonfiction on bass, which is totally unnamed, but we're just tracking songs, and we got a few things recorded already. So it's been good. I've been busy, believe it or not.
Wow, absolutely cool. We can't wait to hear new material by Mike LaPond, Silent Assassins, featuring Alan Tecchio. Very exciting. Glad to hear there's another record coming. So, guys, we have breaking news that three new songs from the classic lineup of Watchtower featuring Ron on guitar, Doug on bass, Rick on drums, and Alan Tecchio on vocals are potentially on the way real soon. Do you have names for the songs that you might want to share with the Talking Metal listeners?
Alan, you want to go?
You do it.
There's going to be two songs with full vocals and everything. The first one is Arguments Against Design, and then the other one is called Technology in Action. And Alan does this thing at the beginning of it. And then the other song is The Overture, which is track one on the CD, if it were to be a full album. The Overture.
Now you say if it were to be a full album, do you envision maybe doing some more songs, working on some more songs? And
great question. We're very curious to see what happens with the songs that we're going to release. I really hope they're successful and people pick them up. And because we have a lot more that we'd like to get out there. Again, we don't have the whole album done, but I'd like to release, you know, a couple of songs at a time. But we have to see how these first couple of songs do and just see enough people are out there that are listening to it.
All right. Well, good stuff. And definitely when these songs do hit, I'm talking to the Talking Metal listeners right now, please support Watchtower, go purchase and download the songs on iTunes and show your support. Guys, thanks so much for talking with us here on Talking Metal. Have you guys ever done an interview together?
In the old days, yeah.
When we did the chickens and the cows?
Yeah, those were the radio IDs. Those were great. We had like farm noises in the background. Greetings from Texas, it's Watchtower.
Cool. Well,
cows and chickens and pigs.
Nice. Well, I know it's been a while, so it's been great having both you on Talking Metal. And again, we all look forward to hearing new Watchtower music. Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
It was awesome, dude.
Center, gravity can't escape.
What you just heard was fairly new. I mean, I guess, what, like 5 years ago at this point? Watchtower, really one of the only new songs that we've gotten from Watchtower in many, many years. That is called The Size of Matter. But as revealed on today's podcast, more new Watchtower music on the way. So can't wait to hear that. And Alan and Ron, please keep us posted. And we'd love to debut some of that music here on Talking Metal. So exciting stuff. And guys, to support Talking Metal, please consider a PayPal donation. You can do that on talkingmetal.com using the PayPal tab in today's show notes. Just find this episode in today's show notes in the Talking Metal section. Also, we will have some links up to stuff Ron and Alan are both up to. You can check out all the links on talkingmetal.com in today's show notes. And what else? Oh, support us with an Amazon purchase. If you're planning to buy something on Amazon, as so many of us do nowadays, go to Talking Metal before you go to Amazon.com. Just go to Talking Metal, use our links in today's show notes to carry you over to Amazon. Then go ahead and make your purchase. There's no additional cost. There's no gimmicks. You know, it's just a link through. I'm not even sure why Amazon would give me a kickback on simply linking you over to their site, but they do. You can buy whatever the hell you want. Diapers for your baby. You know, I buy a lot of, you know, this crazy Zen Soy panda soy milk, they call it on Amazon, which I always try to go to, you know, Victor's website or Eddie Trunk's website and use their, or Adam Carolla's, and use their Amazon links whenever I do that, because they will get a kickback on it. And I ask you to do the same for me. If you like the show, if you want to support the show, just you know, use our Amazon link before you make that purchase on Amazon. So simple, and takes literally 2 additional seconds of your time. Another way you can support the show is with a purchase of a Talking Metal t-shirt in the merch section. Please listen to my friend Mitch LaFon's show. It's also available on talkingmetal.com. It is called One-on-One with Mitch LaFon. And listen to me on Metal Raps. It's my other podcast that I'm doing with Mitch LaFon and Mitch Joel, and it's available on iTunes. Metal Raps. WRAPS. Thanks for joining us. I really appreciate the support you guys give me. And we have another music-based episode coming up real soon, hopefully within a couple days, maybe 3 days. Stay tuned to talkingmetal.com. Thanks.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.